on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Council has been granted orders by the High Court to access financial documents relating to Jim Ferry's former waste collector business. A Donegal deputy claims the Taoiseach's comments about eating less meat were ill-judged and have angered beef farmers across the country. A West Donegal councillor says there is a serious need for a solution to the current system in place for returning immigrants in Ireland. And there are calls for greenfield sites in the Letterkenny Municipal District to be earmarked for educational use in the years ahead. Those stories you follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, the Fianna Fáil leader has compared the government's approach to a hard border to faulty tyres. Micheál Martin has accused the government of having a private understanding that a hard border is now more likely if there's a no-deal Brexit. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The conversation between Simon Coveney and Shane Ross suggested that there will need to be checks on goods coming from the UK if there's a no deal. In other words, some kind of border. But Leo Varadkar insists they're not preparing for that possibility.
We're implementing our no deal plans, and that provides for checks at ports and airports in Dublin and Rosslare. We're not planning for checks along the land border between Northern Ireland and Ireland.
Though Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin says it sounds like the government saying one thing privately and another to the public.
It's like the scene, the episode from Fawlty Towers. Whatever you do, don't mention the war. But somebody forgot to tell Minister Ross.
Meanwhile, there's a vote of no confidence in the British government tonight. Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has called for Theresa May to go.
The Prime Minister has lost control and the government has lost the ability to govern.
The British government will likely survive the vote, but they have only until Monday to provide a plan B after the withdrawal deal was voted down last night. And Leo Varadkar says that any solutions to a problem caused by the British will have to come from the British. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Donegal County Council has been granted orders by the High Court to access financial documents relating to Jim Ferry's former waste collector business. Mr. Ferry and his partner Carol Elliott have agreed to a forensic accountant being given access to the papers which are currently held by Gardaí in Letterkenny. Catherine Gaffney has more.
The court heard that the Criminal Assets Bureau had raided premises associated with Mr. Ferry and had taken documents. However, according to the Irish Times, financial statements and records of clients of Mr. Ferry's waste collection business were held by Gardaí in Letterkenny rather than Cab. Donegal County Council has made attempts to establish where money that Mr. Ferry collected went. The clean-up cost of the Ross Bracken site in Letterkenny, where Mr. Ferry admitted dumping tens of thousands of tonnes of waste illegally, has been estimated to be in the region of 4.5 to 5.8 million euro. The local authorities say the money collected by Mr. Ferry should be retrieved to fund the clean-up. Richard Lyons, SC for the council, said a forensic accountant had completed an interim report on Mr. Ferry's finances but needed a court order to get access to the documents to complete his work. Francis Traynor for Mr. Ferry did not contest the application, which Mr. Justice Barrett granted. The case has been adjourned until March the 26th.
A Donegal deputy claims the Taoiseach's comments about eating less meat were ill-judged and have angered beef farmers across the country. Leo Varadkar said he was trying to reduce his carbon footprint by eating less red meat. However, Fianna Fáil's agriculture spokesperson, Deputy Charlie McConlogue, says the Taoiseach should instead be promoting the fact that Ireland is the most efficient country in Europe to produce beef. During a Dáil exchange, the Taoiseach told Deputy McConlogue that he is committed to supporting the agricultural industry.
The only answer you could give was advice to cut down meat, eat less meat. And Taoiseach, as a leader of a country and overseeing a programme for government, of which one of the objectives are to promote our beef sector and indeed to try and grow our international beef exports. Would you accept that that is not the type of leadership or direction that we'd be expecting from you as Taoiseach, and instead you should be promoting the fact that Ireland is the most efficient country in Europe to produce beef, and indeed that you should understand and in future try and ensure that you give leadership to our beef sector and not indeed take the approach that you did, erroneous one yesterday.
Jackie Cahillan.
As somebody who's actually there and knows what I said, I didn't give anybody anybody dietary advice or suggest that anyone else do anything. I specifically asked what I was doing on climate change, and I said that I was trying to eat less red meat, not giving it up. I had a very nice Hereford steak last night, but that I was trying to eat less red meat for two reasons. One, health, the other, climate change. And it's not flippant. It is a fact that red meat increases incidence of cancer and also contributes more to climate change. But I can reassure deputies that I've not become a vegan or anything like that. And I'm very happy to eat fish landed in Donegal, and poultry and turkeys and pork meat and all of the wonderful products that Irish farmers of all sorts produce.
There is a serious need for a solution to the current system in place for returning immigrants in Ireland. That's according to Councillor Mairi Trez-Gallagher, who says it is near impossible for people to resettle in the country. She says the difficulty in obtaining a driving licence or planning permission has left returning immigrants in West Donegal feeling they are not wanted. She says a county-wide approach is needed to tackle the issue.
We have serious problems. We have people who have come home, who have planned to stay at home, but with red tape between driver's licences, cost of car insurance, getting planning permission, getting homes, I mean everything, their feeling is that they're not wanted here back at home. So we need to change that. There needs to be a plan put in place, and I welcome that there will be a county-wide discussion on this, but as I say, it's going to take multiple agencies to come together. But a lot of this is simple stuff, so hopefully in the next month we will see some solutions to it.
And as you said, a lot of those that did return home, they tried to make a go of it here, they have ended up going back.
That's it, and that is real. And, you know, there was a lot of families who were over the moon for maybe 3 months waiting on their children and their grandchildren to come home, only to feel the total devastation and loss maybe 6 months later. I think there's an issue of citizens' rights. I think there's an issue of civil rights.
And indeed, as well, you've called for more action to provide opportunities for people that are already here to make sure that they do stay in West Donegal.
Yeah, we have a huge job of work. I'm tired of ranting and raving. I'm tired of taking these things up at every meeting, of trying to fight for the people of this area. And I don't think that we've ever really been taken seriously. We have taken motions to council to have a task force established, and that has gone to the minister's office. The minister has never dealt with this. It's not rocket science. It's getting people around a table. It's talking to the principals in the secondary schools. You're talking to six secondary schools in West Donegal. They know. They know what our children need. They know what opportunities and what people are looking for their future. And it's up to us then to ensure that it's here for them.
There are calls for greenfield sites in the Letterkenny Municipal District to be earmarked for educational use in the years ahead. Discussions are to take place between the Department of Education, Donegal County Council and principals of both secondary and primary schools in the area over future needs as part of the local area plan. The talks will centre on spatial land use requirements for education services, while the local authority also aim to identify the school's individual land use issues and plans going forward. Councillor Kieran Brogan says it's important that the conversation is happening.
We all know that, for example, St Union's College have been now, for the last number of years, making efforts to try and enhance and invest in the college there, which is badly needed. So we need to, as a council, have a direct engagement with all the stakeholders there in the whole second level, and indeed the primary level as well. Primary is very important too. We've seen a huge investment in the last number of years in the Educate Together, and I think that has worked out very well, and we as a council have played a role in that happening as well, and I think we have a role going forward. So I think it'll be interesting to see if we engage directly with the schools to see the feedback we get from them. I think we have a role in that. Education's a huge part of what we are here in Donegal, and has made a huge contribution to the many of the employment agencies that we have in the county as well. So I think it's an important role for us, and I look forward to getting the feedback back from all the education sectors.
And quite timely too that we have the Education Minister from Donegal.
Well, I think that's important as well, and I do believe that we'll have the full support of the Education Minister in doing so, because when we have the Minister from Donegal, then surely the department will give us an open door to any engagement we need. And, you know, we can all look and learn from other areas and maybe see what other parts of the country have done in this area. But I think it's important that at this time when we're reviewing our development plan, that things like the proper zoning for the education and recreation facilities are very important. So this is why the timing of this during our development plan, I think the timing of it is very important. So over the next number of months, I think it'll be important to see the feedback we get.
The Health Minister has rejected criticism that he hasn't engaged with nursing unions over their planned strike. Nurses and midwives are set to strike at the end of the month in a row over pay and conditions. The government is refusing to increase their pay as they say it will lead to pay claims from other public sector workers. But Health Minister Simon Harris denied opposition claims that he isn't engaging with nurses.
The level of revisionism going on in this House this evening is quite simply breathtaking. To suggest that it's taken a strike action to engage with me simply doesn't actually bear any fact. And I'm sure the INMO will confirm. Don't believe there's been a time that the INMO have sought to meet with me or I haven't been available to meet and engage with the INMO.
Police in Derry have urged victims of sexual abuse to come forward. It's after David McCallion from Derry was sentenced earlier today, having been found guilty of child sex offences. Donal Kavanagh reports.
David McCallion was sentenced earlier today at Derry Crown Court, having been found guilty of child sex offences, including indecent assault and gross indecency with or towards a child. The 45-year-old was sentenced to a total of 18 months imprisonment, 6 months of which will be served in custody, 12 months of which will be served on license. He'll also be required to register as a sex offender for 10 years. Detective Chief Inspector Billy Cross from the PSNI's Public Protection Branch said McCallion carried out a number of child sex offences between 1994 and 1996 against a 10-year-old boy, manipulating and controlling his young victim so that he felt unable to speak out. The Detective Chief Inspector encouraged anyone who's been sexually abused to come forward and report it to police, even if it was carried out a long time ago.
Donegal County Council is being urged to explore all options with a view towards creating a small development where a vast amount of illegal dumping is taking place. The local authority has vowed to carry out an extensive clean-up operation at the council-owned land at Windmill View in Letterkenny, but it's thought more can be done to counteract this and other antisocial activity going forward. Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh says residents in the area deserve better and a more steadfast solution is needed.
There's a good residents association up there, and there's a lot of very good people up there. There have been incidences that have been unsavoury. That goes back a bit in fairness, but there was one particularly bad incident up there. But I think as a council, we need to be seen to support residents' association, to support the residents in our estates to the very best of our ability. The more that we can provide, the more that we can do to deter antisocial behaviour, and the more that we can do to make places better to live in.
Sport on Highland, in association with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Gear up for 2019 with a massive winter sale in-store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and time to lead a sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We begin with rugby. Joe Smith has named the 38-man squad for the first two rounds of the Six Nations. Among them are three uncapped players, all from Connacht. Centre Tom Farrell, out half Jack Carty and scrum half Caelan Blade. They all get the nod. Carty's inclusion comes at the expense of Ross Byrne. Ulster of five on the list, Rory Best, Ian Henderson, Jordan Murphy, Will Addison and John Cooney. There's no Dan Levy, but Smith says the Leinster flanker will likely return when fully fit. Ian Keatley's mooted move to Italy has been confirmed by Munster. The seven-time Ireland international will join Benetton Treviso at the end of the current season. Ireland head coach Adam Griggs has named eight uncapped players in his 22-player squad for Sunday's Women's Six Nations warm-up game against Wales. There's first calls for Ulster duo Karen Dean and Claire Bowles. Ballybuffet native Laura Feely, who plays out of Galwegians, is also named. Ireland begin their Six Nations campaign proper against England at Donnybrook on Friday, February 1st. To golf now, Shane Lowry shot a flawless round of 62 to lead after the opening day of the Abu Dhabi Championship. The Clara man is 10 under par and three shots clear of a group of four that contains 2010 Open Championship winner Louis Oosthuizen. Paul Dunne's opening round wasn't so spectacular. A triple bogey at the fifth meant that he finished up on one over par after a round of 73. Today's 62 by Lowry equals the course record. And that was Lowry's joint lowest round on a European tour.
I'm obviously over the moon. It's best, equals the best score I've ever shot. I knew that as well. And I said it to my caddy coming in last, that this is, you know, birdie here to shoot best score I've ever shot, which obviously, and he said, well then why don't you just go for it? So I mean, look, I left the putt short, but I thought, felt like I hit a decent putt. It was just a bit more into the grain than I felt, and but I'm obviously very chuffed.
In soccer, three Finn Harps players have been included in the Republic of Ireland schoolboys squad for the international friendly with Australia this weekend, and are also on the provisional squad for the Centenary Shield, which kicks off at the end of March. St Union's Dara Ellison and Karen Dunne Community School duo Corey McBride and Jack Doherty are included in the squad named by manager William O'Connor. They play Australia on Saturday in Dublin and face Scotland in their opening Centenary Shield game on March 28th. A fourth Harps man, Lee McLaughlin, hopes to have recovered from injury in time to make the centenary competition. Cillian Brennan says he'll miss the buzz of a Friday night after announcing his retirement. The three-time SSE Air Trustee League winner played for Derry City, Bohemians and Shamrock Rovers, and played the final two seasons of his career at St Patrick's Athletic. Damien Duff says it's a dream come true to have joined Celtic, the club he supported as a child. The former Republic of Ireland international has been named the new reserve team coach at Parkhead. Duff explains he wouldn't have relocated from his home for any other team.
It's the only club I would have left Ireland for. I'm taking my kids out of school. Like most Irish lads back home, yeah. Had the kids the whole way through. The club is massive and no one has to teach you really that back home. It's just in your blood. Yeah, so it's the only club I would have come for.
The FA Cup last 32 lineup should be completed tonight. Accrington Stanley await the winners of the last third round replay between Southampton and Derby County at St Mary's. On to tennis, and a third round meeting of Caroline Wozniacki and Maria Sharapova has been confirmed at the Australian Open. Wozniacki beat Sweden's Johanna Larsson 6-1, 6-3, while Sharapova needed just 71 minutes to beat another Swede in Rebecca Peterson 6-2, 6-1. The second seed, Angelique Kerber, was another straight sets victor. A semi-final meeting of Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer remains a possibility, as both were straight sets victors today. However, Wimbledon finalist Kevin Anderson is out. The fifth seed was beaten in four sets by Francis Tiafoe. And finally, the Donegal Sports Star Awards Committee has confirmed that there are now only a limited number of tickets left for the presentation function on Friday week, the 25th of January, at the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny. Tickets can be had by contacting the sole booking outlet, which is the Mount Errigal, on 9106 700. Irish champion jump jockey Ruby Walsh is the special guest for the 43rd Donegal Sports Star Awards. That's it, Michaela, for the moment. We'll have Highlands GAA programme with Tom Comack on tonight, usual throne time on a Wednesday is at 8:30, and our next bulletin is tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, detectives in Derry are investigating after a large sum of money was stolen from a van after being forced to stop in the Meadowbank Avenue area yesterday morning. Shortly before 11 o'clock, the driver of a red Volkswagen Caddy van was forced to stop by a white transit-type vehicle. A hooded man wearing a high-vis jacket with his face obscured by a scarf then approached the van before making off on foot with a holdall containing a large sum of cash. Local councillor Mickey Cooper says there have been similar incidents across the city in recent times, but it is not yet known if they are connected.
The person who did the robbery was wearing a high-vis jacket, making himself look sort of workman or out in the street in some official capacity, which might have put off the driver. And then obviously he got the shock of his life when the robbery took place. And we've actually had other statements out in the last week about incidents in the Culmore Road area where there have been people posing as workmen, knocking at people's doors, wearing similar clothing. So whether it's connected, we're not entirely sure. We're going to be following that up with the police. But for the driver, in terms of his the shock to his system, was obviously considerable, because it's the last place he would expect something like that to be happening, in terms of the fact it's very, very busy. A lot of people in the area would have seen it happening, as was the case. So it's shocking indeed that it's actually taking place, especially in that location.
And quite brazen too, that it happened in the cold light of day.
Well, exactly, as I said, I mean, you know, the fact that this person was brazen enough to actually, at a location where there's actually traffic lights at the end of that street, so cars aren't just flowing through it, they're actually stopping, and you know, every couple of seconds as the lights change. So he felt able to do what he did in that location, knowing that the cars could actually be stopping in the street, and as you said, in broad daylight. So it shows that there's a degree of obviously pre-planning or some description, but also this person, you're assuming, has done something similar before.
And finally, news, 250,000 passengers carried by 120 drivers availed of the Donegal Local Link service in 2018. The manager of the service in Donegal has said that since it came under the auspices of the National Transport Authority, it has become more established in the community. With services going out to tender this year, Fiona O'Shea says their operations are being reviewed with the view to establishing a nice service.
There's also an awful responsibility, I find, that we're placing on bus drivers, etc., because unfortunately, when they go into later at night, there can be an element of passengers that may have alcohol taken. We're going to review them all at the moment and see what model, if there is a model, that we can roll out as what we would call night services.
For weather now, cold for the rest of the day with widespread showers. Some will be heavy with a risk of hail and thunder, and a few will turn wintry on higher ground. Scattered heavy showers for a time early tonight with an ongoing risk of hail and thunder, and lowest temperatures of 1 to minus 1 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, Donegal County Council has been granted orders by the High Court to access financial documents relating to Jim Ferry's former waste collector business. Mr. Ferry and his partner Carol Elliott have agreed to a forensic accountant being given access to the papers, which are currently held by Gardaí in Letterkenny. A Donegal deputy claims the Taoiseach's comments about eating less meat were ill-judged and have angered beef farmers across the country. Leo Radker said earlier this week that he was trying to reduce his carbon footprint by eating less red meat. There is a serious need for a solution to the current system in place for returning immigrants in Ireland. That's according to Councillor Mary Therese Gallagher, who says it is near impossible for people to resettle in the country. And police in Derry have urged victims of sexual abuse to come forward. It's after David McCallion from Derry was sentenced earlier today, having been found guilty of child sex offences. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 16th of January. The death has taken place at Parkview Nursing Home, Castle Derg, in her 100th year of Ella McGee, née Galbraith, late of 45 Mourne Park, Newton Stewart. Funeral on Friday in Derg Parish Church, Main Street, Castle Derg, with service at 2 o'clock, followed by interment in Ardstraw New Cemetery. Friends welcome at her late residence. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Parkview Comfort Fund, Parkview House, Parkview Road, Castle Derg. The death has occurred of Francie Duffy, 15 Segronan Road, Kaleeter, Castle Derg. Francie's remains will repose at the home of his brother and sister-in-law Lawrence and Evelyn Duffy, 17 Ahamore Road, Castle Derg, from 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Ahiarn, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Peggy Boyle, Mulla Duff, Kincashla. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Removal from there at 10:30 on Friday morning for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. The death has taken place of Anne Canning, Drumhallalore, Rathmullen. Removal from St. Eunan's Nursing Home, Woodlands, Letterkenny, this evening at 5:30, going to St. Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, reposing overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 with burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Rosary in the church tonight at 9 o'clock. The death has taken place of Sean Grant, Clea Clonmany. Removal from Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, going to his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 22:11 to St. Mary's Church, Clonmany, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Mary Gallagher, née McNamee, Goland, Ballybuffet. wake this evening until 10 o'clock. Fiona will from her home tomorrow morning at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Sesha O'Neill, Ballybuffet, for 11 o'clock funeral mass. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Kieran Henderson, 6 Lisone Avenue, Buncrana. His remains are reposing at his father Jim Henderson's residence, 7 Lisone Avenue, Buncrana. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. And the death has taken place of Patrick Pat White, Derry, and formerly of 2 Church Terrace, Moville. His remains are reposing at his sister Lucy White's home at 2 Church Terrace, Moville. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:40 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial in Ballybrack Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m.